once again showing his versatility.
I think we have five number ones.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
But $22 million for Brian Daubeck, give me a break.
And Redmond has been thrown out of the ballgame.
NFL tight end, you know, those playing years are dog years.
Maybe it's adamantium. Maybe it's vibranium. Maybe it's something really cool I don't even know about yet.
Football is back. Thank Christ. And we are back for another episode of the 300s podcast. My name is Red, and as always, I will be your host. We're joined by Big Z from out west today, and how goes it out there?
Doing all right. Just doing my fantasy football homework, trying to get ready for another season. Had a bit of a down year in 2017, trying to get back on the top of that mountain.
Yeah, I've had a couple down seasons. We'll get into that. But yeah, so this week, as summer's winding down, we're really going to turn our attention to the biggest productivity killer in our corporate America, which is going to be fantasy football. The amount of time people spend, and especially guys in my league who are up at like 4 a.m., but the amount of time you spend just searching the waiver wire, reading articles, and just kind of dicking around at work rather than doing work, fantasy football must kill billions of hours of productivity.
At least March Madness is only 3 weeks. Fantasy football is 4 months, and then I haven't had my draft yet, or I haven't had any of my drafts yet, but a lot of these drafts are so early in the summer, early August or whenever it is, you're talking 5-6 months of just being totally distracted at work.
Yeah, and this is a lesson you got to learn the hard way, but there are still some sick bastards that have their drafts in the beginning of August. Last year, and this is why I push, I'm like, we're not having our draft until the fucking end of August. Last year, I was drafting, or maybe it was the year before, I forget, whichever year it was, my second round pick, top of the second round, I drafted Jordy Nelson, and we're watching the Packers preseason game, and I shit you not, no more than 90 seconds later, he blows his knee out, and I'm like, this is bullshit, and everyone just turns and laughs in my face, so that was a real fucking submarine year.
You were that guy that year.
Oh, it's infuriating, because everyone else just turns and laughs and just laps it up, and you take those names down. It's like the hit list in Game of Thrones. You remember.
My draft is coming up this Sunday, so it'll be after two preseason games. I think in a perfect world, the draft should be after week three of the preseason, because you know none of the good guys are going to get hurt after that, relatively speaking. I know that Edelman kind of got hurt later in the preseason last year, but a lot of the starters, a lot of the top players, they don't play week four of the preseason. So if I could push my draft one more week, I think after three preseason games would be the perfect time to do it. You don't want to do it after the fourth preseason game. You don't need a draft Labor Day weekend. I don't need to be doing a draft in between 12 Bud Heavies. Don't drink and draft. Don't
that is
drink
exactly what I will be doing.
I'm going to get a root beer keg for my draft.
I am doing a draft Labor Day weekend, so we will see how that works out.
Good luck.
I do want to quickly, before we get into it, touch on the hit list factor. So I don't know about you, but maybe it's just me being a psycho. When people wrong me in fantasy football, I feel like I like to think there are some gentlemanly rules in fantasy football. And when you, those unwritten rules, when you cross those, I remember that to the grave.
Benching and your defense?
Yeah. There was one instance a couple seasons ago where I was up a big amount on someone and basically was like, I don't want to drop anyone and make all these moves and fuck up my waiver wire position if I don't have to. So I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And the lead it started shrinking on me quicker than I had thought. So I let it go. And then I got to Monday and I was banking on the Monday Night Football game where I had to pick up someone just to kind of, you know, get a couple points. So I was like, all right, I'll pick up the Monday Night Football defense. And that way I'll get at least 5 points and I'll be good. Well, some random kid in the league, not in the one I was playing, picked up all the defenses that were available and dropped all of them. So I couldn't pick anyone up. I ended up losing by like 2 points.
Oh, that's brutal. That's some A-plus defense right there. I am a proponent of playing defense in fantasy sports.
Oh, fuck that. Huge dickhead. So I remember that for years. And last season, we had some confusion on the waiver wire moves after this guy was the waiver wire fiend in the middle of the night. But there was some confusion as far as who gets picked up when and when waivers clear and all this and that. And we just busted the kid's balls and he freaked out and ended up quitting the league mid-season. So that was That was to my great pleasure.
That's like the Cleveland Barons folding in the middle of a fucking season.
Oh, and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. Fuck that guy.
He's not invited to this year's draft, is he?
No, he's out of the league.
Found a new owner.
All right. All right, so before we get into all the fantasy football nitty-gritty, I have some horrible, horrible news. Yet another one of my flat-screen TVs shit the bed today. And this was no more than a couple of hours ago. I went to turn it on, and half the TV shit the bed. And all I could think about was somewhere in a dark basement was our father just cackling maniacally laughing as he watches the Red Sox on his 30-year-old 400-fucking-pound TV.
The 89 Trinitron is undefeated.
This is like a legend. I know we've told a lot of our friends, but for anyone who doesn't know this story, and this is like a tall tale of the family, our father basically has told us that this TV, and you should see this thing, it's literally 400 fucking pounds. It got put in the basement when we moved in, when our parents moved in, you know, 20 years ago, and hasn't moved a goddamn inch since. And our father swears he won this TV in a card game, like before I was even born, and that thing's just been there forever, and it still fucking works better than my TV that just shit the bed.
Now, what I used to love about this TV, it wouldn't work. You couldn't get the cable to work on it unless you had a specific VCR set up with it. So the 89 Trinitron only works with some 1993 VCR. It is a setup that is unparalleled.
Well, not to mention, like, the TVs now that are shit in the bed, this one, it was made in the fucking 80s, so there's nothing more back there than the red, white, yellow three-prong system. But you go to GameStop back in the day, or you go to Best Buy or wherever, and they have all these converters where you can take that and you can turn it into something else, and that can just work for whatever. So we were hooking up PlayStation 2s and Xbox 360s and all this other shit. No problem. Now I try and hook up anything, and I got lines coming through the screen, and the thing blows out. Now I'm down to one TV like a poor person.
And that's brutal. If that thing just went out today, its body is still warm.
Oh, it's sad. I'm going to have to hold a funeral for it.
Now, you're gonna have to share the details. I'm just curious, because something like this happened to me about a year ago, too. And I'm just minding my own business, watching TV. It was Chromecasting something, so I don't know if the Chromecast is what screwed it up. But the TV just shuts off. And I smell burning rubber, and I just knew immediately, that's done. Let's move it along. Thankfully, it was right before Black Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily push the burning smell, but a couple, probably like a year ago, my other flat-screen TV, I had three when I moved in here, so now I'm down to one. I had a flat-screen TV that basically, it just died, and then you would go to turn it back on, and it would work for like 10 seconds, and then it would make the most high-pitched, horrifying noise you've ever heard in your entire fucking life. And I got to look up the brand, because I forget what it was, but Kyle had the same brand TV, did the same thing. So you would wake up in the middle of the night, and the thing, like if you fell asleep and the TV was on, you would wake up to horrifying, high-pitched screams coming from your TV, and that shit is fucking scarring. That's what just died. That's what I just had that just died. And I'm going to go on the record and say I did not buy that one. The missus bought that one. And the Westinghouses are a big, gigantic piece of shit. And I know that from my Circuit City days. May Circuit City rest in peace.
Yeah, that one you might actually want to buy the extended warranty on.
Oh, God. So I got to go rack up some credit card debt and get a new TV, because this is not a good time to have one TV.
But
it's football season.
I will say this. You know, these TVs don't last like they used to. That 89 Trinitron probably cost $500 30 years ago, probably the equivalent of $1,000 today. You could probably go and get a 50-incher tomorrow for $300. So at least the price, the TVs are priced knowing that they're going to shit the bed in 4 years. It's kind of built into the price that these things don't last 30 years anymore, at least.
Yeah, and you said it best before we got on here. They're disposable TVs now, and I think that's probably the best way to describe it. It's high-quality shit, but it gets chucked in 2 years.
Just take emotion out of it. Just take emotion out of it. You know what you're getting into when you're purchasing it.
Yeah, get a 32-incher for fucking $80. Cheaper than a microwave these days.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get into it. And just a disclaimer, we're not draft experts. We're not draft experts. So take this with a gigantic grain of salt. But between, you know, between me and you, we have like over 25 years of fantasy experience. We've been playing this since it really became a thing, you know, back when we were in middle school and high school. And we have won multiple fantasy championships. So I think we know what we're talking about. But with that being said, this is not draft prep work. This is fantasy football follies.
Yeah, I'm Jimmy Williams. I'm Jimmy Williams when it comes to managing fantasy football teams. I play my hunch, and my hunch is usually pretty good. I've been playing, I think, since 2002, so I probably had anywhere between 20 and 30 teams, and I've won a couple of trophies, but I'm not doing it like Billy Beane behind closed doors crunching the numbers. I've got some hunches, and we'll share some of those today, and the hunches work more often than they don't, but yeah, I'm playing my hunch here.
Yeah, and fantasy football has come a long way, because I remember when we started, like, early 2000s, I remember having the drafts in our basement, and it was a pretty shallow league. If you had Peyton Manning in, like, 03, you won the league. If you had LT in 06, you won the league. So I think it's gone a long way in terms of balancing out the league, and I'm sure the league itself has come a long way in terms of not having such dominant one-sided players. But yeah, you're not gonna just win a league by having one great pick overall. You're not gonna do the Mike Ditka make your first round pick and then kick your feet up.
Now, Peyton Manning definitely had some monster seasons, but I'm going back to 2002, 2003, my first couple of years playing. I gotta disagree, and I want to name my league trophy after this guy when I get the chance. I want a Priest Holmes trophy. You want to talk about a guy that was a flash in the pan, but that guy, if you had Priest Holmes, or maybe Tony Gonzalez too on the Chiefs, but Priest Holmes was the fucking man in 02, 03. And you're right, the leagues aren't as top heavy anymore, but if I get my chance, Priest Holmes, love you, mean it.
If you know, you're listening on the podcast right now, I'm doing the Manny Ramirez Kiss the Sky, the Pedro Kiss the Sky. Priest Holmes was my dude. I, true story, what was it, 2007, 2008, when I was in college, we took the shuttle, and we would take the shuttle like Walmart and Stop and Shop and all that, and right next door was a Marshall's, and this is in, you know, bumfuck Connecticut, and I disappeared. We were waiting for the bus to come, take the shuttle to come pick us up and bring us back to campus, and I disappeared for like 20 minutes, and I come back out, my buddy's like, where the hell did you just go? And I busted out. $20 hairs got me a red throwback stitched Priest Holmes jersey that I still have in my closet to this day.
Yes! That is a classic item to break out, especially if the Patriots are playing Monday night and you're watching football with buddies on Sunday and you don't give a shit who wins. You just get your fantasy card out or your fantasy app up. Rock that Priest Holmes jersey.
Oh, I love it. Priest Holmes jersey is going to be the thumbnail for this podcast. And man, it just makes me shed a tear for A.J. Wright.
Oh, gone but not forgotten.
We'll get into that another time. I have a A.J. Wright documentary in the works, so that'll be for another time. Now, I love fantasy football because really it allows me to feel like a man and gamble. I'm not really a big poker or tables guy, so I don't know. About you, when I go to Vegas, I've been there a couple times. When I go to Vegas, I feel like a lost boy. I just have a few drinks. I walk by the tables of degenerates gambling. I play some slots. And then I basically just wind up in the sports book watching football. So not really a big gambler guy. I don't really know how to play craps or whatever. So when fantasy football comes around, I'm like, slap the fucking money on the table.
I love playing cards with my buddies from high school and college. But that's because I can read them like books and I know I'm going to come out up. I was staying at a casino not too long ago because I was in the area and it was the cheapest hotel. I stayed in a casino for two nights. I didn't play one hand of blackjack. And sometimes it is depressing how rational I have become at the age of 32. But I've kind of said to myself, why am I going to lose $100 or $200 and be fucking miserable for the rest of the day in exchange for playing blackjack for 3-4 hours and maybe winning $80? I hate how reasonable I've become, but yeah, I'm with you. The table games, I'm kind of over it. Slots, why don't you just throw your money down the sewer? But fantasy football, I don't mind putting 50, 100 bucks, whatever it is, on a fantasy football season, because with that productivity lost at work, and in life in general, I get more bang for my buck.
Yeah, and it's definitely a lot more hours put into, relatively speaking, less upside, but you also get that delayed satisfaction where it's not like you slap down $100, you're fucking, it's gone. It's something where I put down $50 and it takes me 4 months to either lose it or quadruple it or whatever you put down. But it's really the only type of gambling where, true or not, I feel like I have some sort of a shot. I feel like I have some sort of an understanding where I know enough about football. You know, you play Madden, you play fantasy football, you grow up watching it. You feel like you understand it enough, or at least relatively speaking, I understand it better than anything else that I would gamble on. Like if I'm playing blackjack, but if I'm playing, you know, whatever card games or craps or roulette or whatever the hell it is, I just feel like I'm just throwing my money in a fucking fire.
Yeah, I agree with you. I get text messages about once a month from one of my buddies in high school always saying, look at how much I won in this scratch ticket. It'll be a scratch ticket for $100, $200. What he doesn't send me is the other $40, $30 tickets he's bought that are losers. But
yeah, how many other ones did you buy, Grandma?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, one thing that makes fantasy football a little bit dangerous, maybe not for us, although I'm sure it does not help my blood pressure, but I'll be watching the Monday night game between Carolina and Miami, and I'll have the Carolina kicker, and Carolina will convert a 3rd and 12, and I'll just shout the F word at the top of my lungs, and Mrs. Z will just be furious with me because the Panthers are no longer in field goal range. They're just going to score a touchdown instead. He said, I don't want them to score a touchdown. I don't want six. I want three.
I got to say, that what you just said right there gives me a fucking great idea. I think this would be hilarious. We need to get a video of all the missuses. What's the plural of misses? I don't know.
Misses.
Get all the misses. Missuses. Get all the ladies of all the guys work for the 300s and tell their top story of when their guy lost their fucking shit because of fantasy football on a meaningless Sunday night game.
I remember, and Alisa, she can tell this fucking story.
We were literally like half asleep. I'm just like got one ear open listening to the game. And this was a year I'd won the title a few years back. I had heavy Seahawks team, really in like the first or second year of their dynasty. And I had Russell Wilson and I had Marshawn Lynch. And I was down like probably 40 points before I just started going to sleep. Russell Wilson has a 40-point game and Marshawn Lynch has a 40-point game. I'm dead asleep. I'm like, this game's over. Marshawn Lynch rips off a 50-yard touchdown run. I literally get up, jump into bed. And you ever see that scene where Kramer's at the racetrack betting on the horses? And he's like, come on, come on. This was me on top of our bed at like fucking 12:30 at night.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. A Monday night miracle. Now, my lady has said to me, I don't care that you're shouting the F word. I just want to know who the hell you're rooting for. You are rooting for these random, bizarre outcomes that do not exist in reality. And yeah, watching a meaningless Monday night game, wanting Carolina to kick a field goal when they're up by 24 instead of punching in another six. Yeah, when you're trying to pull a Monday night miracle, you're rooting for an inside straight. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I wonder what Brent Musburger's wife says.
As our friends in the desert would say.
This is why I'm in two leagues, so I'm full of shit, but I'm a big proponent for only doing one league because when you're doing multiple leagues and you're doing DraftKings, you're rooting for everything.
Yeah, you're rooting against yourself in a lot of cases. I've got Russell Wilson in one league, but I'm playing against him in the other league. I don't need that.
Yeah, you literally turn into a degenerate. It ruins the fun. Whereas if you have one league and you're watching it, you know, random Monday night game, you're like, I need Devin Funchess to have 5 touchdowns tonight. And when he gets 4, you're losing your shit.
Well, and the wife gets even more upset when she says, I thought you had him. And I go, I had him in the $10 league, not the $100 league. I don't care about the $10 league's the vanity league.
Fuck you. You don't get it.
The $10 league, that's just so I could put something in my email signature at work.
Yeah, I made 10. I lost 90, asshole. All right, I mean, so I have my draft coming up. Mine, like you just shot down a few minutes ago, mine is Labor Day weekend. We tried to do another live draft, but it's hard to get, you know, 12 guys in their 20s and 30s together to do anything. So we're having a online draft. And I'll be honest, I haven't done dick for research. Luckily, my draft is, you know, still a week or two away. But, you know, I've read a couple of mock drafts on ESPN, and I'm going through it. I'm looking at, all right, we drafted this guy. It's doing a snake draft. And I realized these ESPN guys are literally just drafting the exact order of their power rankings that they published already. I'm like, this is not worth my fucking time.
Absolutely not worth your time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to keep track of who are the hot new rookies, who's playing well, position battles. It's not so much groundbreaking shit. It's more of what changes late, who's going to have a good shot at, you know, breaking camp as a number one or two guy, or has a chance of getting a lot of touches. Like, that's where you make your bread. I mean, guys like came out of seemingly nowhere, but Alvin Kamara and Tyreek Hill and guys like that really just kind of, they'll set you up for fucking season if you catch on those.
So we've both got our drafts coming up, but I got to share something from one of the leagues I'm in. One of the leagues I'm in is a live draft. It's an offline draft. So you're not even bringing, I mean, I'm sure that I will bring my iPhone or my iPad and do some research on the fly when I'm there, but it's an offline draft. And out of your entry fee, I think the guy takes $85 for a draft party and a stupid draft board that'll get used once for an hour, and then another $30 comes out of the kitty for a friggin' champion's mug at the end of the season. I know we touched on this last year. I hate that the guy hosting the draft is pulling money out of the kitty to buy Little Caesars. Hey, guys, let's do it at my house next year. I can spare $24, and you know what I would do? I would write on my fucking wall in permanent marker before I bought Matthew Berry's stupid draft board.
What a dickhead. You know, you can go to Buffalo Wild Wings or pretty much fucking anywhere and get a free draft board because, hey, I promised to buy a bunch of beers and wings and I have this $12 piece of styrofoam for free.
Hey, can I talk to your manager? We're going to spend $800 on wings and beer. Can you give me the $30 piece of paper free? And I'll tell you what. 2 years ago when Staples was giving out the free brackets for March Madness, the poster-sized brackets, again, it was cool for about 15 minutes. That's why I didn't spend 30 on it. I got it because it was free.
Yeah, and so this might be a bit of a hot take, and let me explain, but fucking live drafts suck. Live drafts suck. And the reason I say that is it's great to get everyone together, and it's great to get your buddies together and get all the ball busting. But I gotta say, it is a lot of pressure, especially if it's purely live, offline. You're not like just sitting around on your laptops, because you get to like the 10th round and it's, oh, that guy is suspended. Oh, that guy tore his knee up yesterday, or this happened, or that happened. And it's like, fuck, I don't know what's going on. I don't have enough time. 90 seconds isn't enough time to research things on my phone. So it's too much shit going on. I'm a huge proponent of bring your laptop. If you want to get together and do a live draft together, awesome. But totally offline drafts, I did not have the kind of time to research that shit enough.
Steve Jobs did not die, so I can do my fantasy draft in a dark basement without electricity.
He would be fucking rolling in his grave if he knew I had an iPhone in my pocket, but I was using a goddamn magazine.
Rolling over in his grave.
Now, not to get totally diverted, but with all the gambling talk that we're going over, fantasy football obviously is put your money in the beginning of the season and you kind of just watch it over the several months. Whereas DraftKings and FanDuel, you know, they tried to merge into one company, but the government said cut the shit. You know, that's shit you bet on every single day. You put in $10, whatever, and you're watching that all the time. I just can't get into it. It's one of those things where it's like you're betting on everybody, so you're just rooting against everyone, rooting for everyone, and it's not any fun. But I can't get into it. I'm just too dumb and unlucky. And I feel like it's more math and algorithms than it is having fun and busting balls like fantasy football.
I think you're a little too hard on yourself. I don't think you're too dumb for it at all. I think, again, as I said earlier, it's downright depressing how goddamn rational I've become, because I don't even bother with that either. Occasionally, when they run a freebie, I'll play it just because it's a free lottery ticket, and maybe I pick four Detroit Lions. Maybe, let's just say. I would do it more in baseball, because at least in baseball, you can look at the probable starters and you can say, okay, this guy on this team hits 800 against CC Sabathia. But with football, if you can't win by picking the best player at every position. You need to pick that backup running back for a dollar who has four touchdowns so you can afford to get the best player at some other position. You're right. It's all algorithms. It's how many combinations can you play? And it's not that we're dumb. It's that we know better, and we know that it's not worth our time.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Moneyball, that's exactly what that really is. It's like you got to find the backup running back that has four touchdowns, and you have the cheap-ass third receiver that breaks off a, 10-catch, 100-yard game, that kind of shit. And usually what happens is I end up, like, overthinking it and taking random-ass backups and saying, Philip Dorsett's going to have a huge game, and then he doesn't fucking play. So
it is
that's why.
It is Moneyball. Hey, let's get the backup catcher from the Red Sox that broke his elbow and put him at first base, and then we'll win 22 straight games.
Oh, like, you know the guy that started Brock Holt last night because he didn't check his lineup,
yep,
won $5,000 because,
yep,
he didn't even start, and he hit a walk-off home run.
He had a dollar left, and he went, hey, we'll play the Brock star.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's if you want to be good at it, like if you want to just kind of sit around and throw $5 a week and hopefully hit it, like, that's fine. But to really, like, make money on it, you got to be a smart fucking guy. A buddy of mine that I play softball with, he's a smart fucking guy, and he won $50,000 playing DraftKings. He said he fucking studied trends and analyzed points and, basically tried to, like, figure out the algorithm for weeks before just dumping, like, $5,000 into it on one Sunday night. And he's telling me the story, and he's watching the game, and he didn't tell anyone that he was with how much money he put in or how much money he potentially would be winning. So he's like, we're talking about our girlfriends, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? This guy scored a touchdown. He's like hanging on everything for like tens of thousands of dollars, and he ends up winning $50,000, and the girlfriend's like, what the fuck is with you? And he's like, I just won $50,000. And he's like, what I didn't tell her was, if this guy hadn't dropped that fucking ball, I'd won $100,000.
I hope that guy knows better. I hope that guy has walked away from ever, and he said, all right, I'm never winning again. Let's cash out, and I'll be up for the rest of my life. But you mentioned dropping in $5. You know what I would rather do? I'd rather go watch the early game some Sunday when the Patriots are playing late, go to the alumni, piss away $20 on Keno. I'd rather play Keno than Daily Fantasy. At least Keno, I get to pick the numbers, and I get to see the balls come up. Love Keno.
I can't do DraftKings. Keno is good, but only if you start playing before noon. Now, another thing, another big aspect of fantasy football that I'm kind of waffling on, I used to think a solid fantasy name, solid fantasy team name was really all that was required to do well. I'm kind of relenting on that. I mean, I'm a big Mountain Dew guy, so for the past like 3 years, my team name has been Mountain Dukaki, but I've gotten smoked the past couple years, so I'm starting to doubt myself.
I've seen some good names over the last 10 to 15 years. None of them I feel comfortable saying aloud out of my mouth.
Those are always the best ones.
Yeah, exactly. The best fantasy football team names, a lot like trivia, are the names you can't say aloud at work.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going with, safe for work, Rick and Morty Schottenheimer or something like that.
Sure.
Rick and Morty Schottenheimer went 14-2, got fired. Early sneak preview for all of you that are listening to the pod. Now, I know we wanted to also talk about a couple advantages that you might have living out in no man's land compared to not really necessarily having Patriots fans or
the hub of the
Jets
universe
fans or Giants fans out around you.
Yeah, so John Taffer always says this, take advantage of your unfair advantage. My unfair advantage, unfortunately, it's in fantasy football and not making $800,000 a year. But my unfair advantage is I'm a Patriots fan, and I'm in two leagues with primarily Packers and Vikings fans. So these guys are watching these NFC North matchups every week. They are not familiar with the AFC East. So I know when the fourth string Patriots running back is going to start that week. I generally don't draft a lot of Patriots up front, but I play the waiver wire with the Patriots because I know other than Tom, there's going to be a lot of moving in and out at the skills positions. And not just the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Jets, I know all those AFC teams, whereas the guys I'm playing against are primarily focused on the NFC. So if you can play in a league against fans from another team, fans from another conference, that is a huge advantage because you're going to have knowledge that they don't have. And if you can't do that, maybe the advice I would have for you is pick a team in the other conference and just try to watch some of their games. Don't make it the Dallas Cowboys. Don't make it the NFC East at all. They're Sunday Night Football is the NFC East game of the week. But if you can pick one of those West Coast teams or an NFC North team, if you don't live in those markets, maybe you can pick up something there.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Playing with guys that are born and raised in Boston, you know, 10 or 12 of them, no one's sneaking any Patriots shit by you. But, you know, watching teams that maybe people aren't watching all the time, aside from highlights, like a lot of guys I know, they sit and they watch Red Zone, which I can't do. I mean, as much as people joke about how short of attention spans we have these days, that's just like too much for me. It's jumping around and you got this guy's in the 20 and then we're touching. This guy's in the 10, it's a touchdown. And I'm like, I want to watch a whole drive. Maybe I'm old school, but I have the Sunday ticket at my house. And, you know, my fiance is a diehard Jets fan. So I have watched more Jets games than any of you motherfuckers have in the last 5 years. So the Jets are on and I'm just watching Josh McCown just sucking ass. But then you got guys like Robbie Anderson that pop, or a couple years ago it was Quincy, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Umanara, whatever his name is. That was a guy that popped.
The
that,
Q.
Yeah, Quincy U. If you weren't watching the games, you wouldn't even know who that was for a few weeks. So things like that, like that's a great point. If you have Sunday ticket, it's definitely worth it to just pick a random team. Like I even like watching, just following up with guys that I liked in college. Like I'll watch a lot of Titans games because I was a big fan of Mariota at Oregon back in the day.
Now, I had mentioned I really want to stay away from Patriots players. And I'm going to wear all my Patriots gear to this draft. You want to draft Tom Brady first overall? You want to draft Gronk second overall? Do it. I'm not interested. I know you probably couldn't slip this one past anyone out east. Chris Hogan is a guy, if I'm going to draft any Patriot, Chris Hogan might be the guy that I draft.
Yeah, it's hard to slip any Patriots past anyone out here. But, like, I would love to do... I'm not going to do it. I would love for someone to do for me. Let's put out the nerd horn. Basically, what were the top Patriots fantasy performers of the last 15 years? How many players on the team finished in the top 10 in scoring? You could probably count it on one or two hands. I mean, Brady wasn't really a big fantasy performer outside of 07 and then maybe like the last 5 years.
Exactly.
And outside of Gronk, who's only been in the league since, you know, 11 – or 12, and then, or no, I think 11, and then missed a couple of seasons.
Gets hurt
and
a bunch
of games with injuries. There's really not been a guy. I mean, Welker was pretty good. Randy Moss in 07 was pretty good. But it's all been pretty hit or miss. Like, you're basically playing week-to-week matchups with Patriots players.
Now, one last thing I'll say about the Patriots. A lot of times, by week 15 or week 16, they might still be jockeying for a bye or the top overall seed, but they've locked up their playoff. They've locked up the playoff spot. And maybe some years by week 16, they've even locked up their playoff position. So if you have a Patriot on your team, you can't always count on the Patriots going balls to the wall in week 15 and week 16. And also, with all the divisional games late in the season, do you want a kicker playing in New York when it's – I know that they play on turf in New York, but do you want the Patriots kicker at the Jets the week before Christmas when it's 25 degrees out and – damp? And that kind of brings me to another point I have. You can kind of take advantage of the weather, and so I don't waste a high draft pick on a kicker, but if I can, I always go for a kicker from the NFC South. Warm weather teams and two domes in that division too.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I will try and check the weather, but it's very understandable if you don't. But if you're, say, I have the Buffalo kicker, you don't check the shit when they're playing in December, and they had that game last year where it was a foot of snow, and they're literally clearing off the snow trying to just see the lines. You don't check that shit out. That was awful. I think that was the game Vinatieri missed a couple field goals to screw him out of some incentives.
And the Seahawks, I totally stay away from Seahawks kickers because it feels like after Thanksgiving, even extra points are coin flips in rainy Seattle.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean... My my feel on kickers has always been try and find a team that's got a pretty good offense, but it's not super high scoring. Basically, teams that stall out on drives a lot, yep, and then just try and punch them in from like 40 yards out.
And one more small thing that I do, I don't really put any stock in a defense. I don't pick a team, say, oh, New England's a vaunted defense, I got to pick New England. I almost stream my defense every week. And what I do, I look at fantasy points against, and I try to pick up the team that is playing the other team, usually it's the Browns, that has given up the most points to an opposing defense.
Yeah, again, I'm not, I haven't won in a couple of years, but I'm a past champion. I will draft a team, in the last round, whenever the draft is, and then I'll run with them until they're bye, and then usually I'll just drop them, unless it's like Seattle from a few years ago or the Ravens from a few years before that. Unless it's a great historic defense, fuck that. I will stream the rest of the season,
yeah,
to pick up whoever's playing the Browns, whoever's playing a shitty team.
Yeah, if you're not the 85 Bears, you're not untradeable. You're not unmovable. The only downside to streaming a defense every week, you know, you do run the chance. It's like you're playing your lottery numbers. If I'm going to play the lottery every night, I'm going to play the same numbers every night. I'm not going to change my numbers every night because what if your number hits? So it can be frustrating to play some team one week, some team the next week, and then you're always a week late on the defense that's scoring two punt return touchdowns. But
yeah, and that's why it's important to check the matchups, obviously, because if you're chasing, oh, they had 20-point game last week, it's like, oh, because they had a fumble return for a touchdown, that's a fucking fluke. So definitely got to be careful of stuff like that. And that's always a big debate in our league. It's like, should this be worth X points? Like, that's not fair. So always just got to keep that in mind.
So is your league a keeper league?
Yeah, so that's one of the things where another hot take. I'm just going to come out and say it. I fucking hate keeper leagues. I think they ruin the overall strategy. And I know there's a couple, I guess, point of views people like keeper leagues. One, it keeps guys involved for like multiple years. But it's like at this point, I've known most of these guys for a decade plus. So none of us are fucking going anywhere. But I just hate the fact that it's before the draft even starts, the top 11 guys are off the board. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The other thing I don't like in the league I play in, whoever set up the rules must have been watching some 70s game show and said, fantasy football is not complicated enough. We need to put some quirks in the rules. I think if you won the toilet bowl, you got two keepers. Or if you won the consolation bracket, you got two keepers. And everyone else gets one keeper. Maybe somebody got no keepers. I don't know. If you're going to do keepers, everyone should get the same amount. I have one, and I'm going to tell you who I'm keeping, but I'm going to tell you I'm not too crazy about it. I have Le'Veon Bell, and that's almost like having a cheat code in fantasy football. Guy was great last season.
If he plays, yeah.
But that's the thing. The guy did not play last preseason. He's not playing this preseason. I don't love the decision. I'd rather keep somebody else, maybe Russell Wilson. I got burned a lot last year when I sat Russell Wilson. I've learned my lesson. But I just,
yeah.
I can't not keep Le'Veon Bell. I don't feel great about it. I think there's got to be some drop-off. But Pittsburgh is one of those old-style teams. He's our running back. We run it 25 times a game. Here you go, pal.
Yeah, so this is like the dilemma I run into. So full disclosure, I mainly hate keeper leagues because I've just gotten fucked on them. I think the first year we ran this league, I won because I had Marshawn and Russell. And then we started doing keeper leagues. And I've had a shit run of keepers. So I got hosed the past few years. I kept Marshawn Lynch a year too long on his last year in Seattle where he just really sucked. And I think he ended up getting hurt. And that's when Thomas Rawls took over. And he was a beast the last couple of games. And then he got hurt as well. But they said in the offseason, he's fine. He's good to go. So I kept him the following year, Thomas Rawls. They said he's going to be good to go. He's going to be in training camp. All right, he's missing training camp. He's going to be good to go with the preseason. He'll be good for game one. He missed six fucking weeks, so that screwed me.
They must have the Celtics medical staff. Kevin Garnett, his knee is fine. He's going to play in 2 weeks. Oh, his leg might fall off, actually.
Oh, my God. And then I parlayed that the next year. I ended up keeping as my last keeper, Ezekiel Elliott, who, you know, obviously missed a bunch of games last year. So
stop breaking the law.
Stop breaking the law, asshole. when he came back, he played well, but, you know, missing, what do you mean, six games? That was a fucking hole to dig out of. So this year, I'm kind of staring into, you know, my shit team. I got Russell Wilson, but they seem to be moving more to a running offense. I got Juju Smith-Schuster. That could be a good keeper, but, you know, is he really going to do much? I'm looking at my team. I had some shitty fucking players last year. Do I want to keep Ezekiel Elliott again? I hate giving a first-round pick. As much as a